Welcome to the Emmaus Fellowship Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. Emmaus Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. We trust you find this encouraging as you pour over God's Word with us.
You gave me a voice and a song, taught me how to sing. Brothers and sisters, gave me a family.
Well, hey friends, so I'm back, and as you can tell, I'm in a different location than normal. Tiffany and I came down to Arizona with her dad for a few days, and we're enjoying some sun, and I know that where you're at, it's pretty cold and snowy, I think, maybe. I don't know, but yeah, sorry about that. Actually, not really that sorry. Sorry to rub it in. Hey, listen, I want to read out of Luke 18. It's a pretty familiar passage, but I think it's going to kind of set the stage for what I'd like to share here. So Luke 18, the people brought their babies and small children to Jesus so that he might lay his hands on them to bless them. When the disciples saw this, they scolded the parents and told them to stop troubling the master. But Jesus called to the parents, and he called to the children and to the disciples to come and listen to him. And then he told them, never hinder a child from coming to me. Let them all come, for the kingdom realm belongs to them as much as it does to anyone else. They demonstrate to you what faith is all about. Learn this well. Unless you receive the revelation of the kingdom realm in the same way that these little children receive it, you will never enter in. So I want to talk to you today about inheritance, in particular, the family inheritance. And I would like to speak probably most specifically about spiritual inheritance. And so I want to speak to that, and of course I want to speak to it in terms of like the blessing, like the Father's blessing, but in particular I want to speak about spiritual inheritance. It seems that in the last couple of weeks, most people that I've been talking with, this subject is coming up, and so I wanted to just spend some time just encouraging us that we have a part to play, not only in receiving a spiritual inheritance, but also being a conduit and helping our children and their children experience everything that God intends for them in the way of a spiritual inheritance. So this is actually a very exciting topic for me. And so I'd like to just talk to you about this. Now, of course, we know that inheritance can certainly include financial inheritance or inheriting land or a business legacy that can be passed down. But I want to stick most closely to what I'll refer to as like a kingdom legacy, right? And so again, that spiritual inheritance. And I want to unpack some ideas surrounding God's intended like blessings, like God's original plan, God's design to extend blessings from one generation to another through family. And while he intended that to be extended through biological family, I think there's some things that we can be learning also about spiritual family and inheritance. But I wanted to quote Chris Vollaten. He's recently written a book. It's entitled The Spiritual Intelligence. And it's actually a really good book. And so I'd like to encourage you to maybe grab a copy of that, Chris Vollaten's Spiritual Intelligence. But before I read his quote, let me read 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. Okay, so this is Paul writing about his spiritual son, Timothy. All right. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you. So Paul is aware and he's mindful of the sincere faith that's within Timothy. It goes on to say, which first dwelt in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice. And I am sure that it is in you as well. Now the quote from Chris Wallaton's book, Spiritual Intelligence. The Bible strongly implies here that Timothy's faith was the result of a spiritual inheritance from his grandmother and his mother. The spirit world transcends time and space. And when someone wins a personal victory with God, it therefore becomes a spiritual inheritance for those who come after that person in the spirit. But he goes on to say, let me be clear, however, that just because your parents or your grandparents were spiritual giants doesn't mean that you automatically tap into their inheritance. And I'll talk a little bit more about that later. So in that, we know that each one of us have a choice that we're going to have to continually make, and we make this choice whether or not we're going to follow the ways of Jesus and whether or not we're going to have this active and ongoing relationship with the Spirit of Christ within us. And I think unless we have that, we're never going to tap into the spiritual inheritance that was intended for us, okay? So that's kind of baseline stuff here, but I think it's really important to say. And on the other hand, we have to contrast these ideas with the fact that in reality, the effects of sin and the effects of disobedience and the oppressive nature of evil, they've all stolen people's blessings and their inheritance. And actually, my conviction is that very few of us actually lay hold of the inheritance that God has always intended for us. And so this is a bit of a challenge for us to take a survey with God and just say, Lord, are there areas in my life where I have not laid hold of or tapped into your intended spiritual blessing to me? Is there something that I can be conscious of, aware of, moving towards as we move forward in this? So this is a great encouragement and a challenge for us. So often then the next generation experiences something less than, right? They don't always experience the abundance that was intended to be passed down through an inheritance, a blessing, like a spiritual inheritance. Most people experience the opposite. They experience the curse of deep brokenness and often dysfunction. Okay, so that all of us can relate to that at some level. And so we want to just kind of lift our eyes and say, okay, God, this does not have to be normal. Like, there's more that you're offering, and how can we lay hold of that? I think that's the encouragement, because it really is my conviction that generation after generation of children growing up in this world rarely experience what was always intended for them by God. I mean, that's just true. And it breaks my heart, and I'd like to see that change, actually. I'd like to see that change in my generation and my children's generation and so on down the line. Just more and more realization of what God has in store for each one of us, and grabbing hold of that and receiving that inheritance that was always intended for us. Okay? So I realized that in saying this, there's kind of this challenge with doctrine sometimes. When we start talking about what God intended and what we're actually experiencing, and if there's a discrepancy between the two, like if God always intended this, but we're only experiencing a portion of that or a small measure of that or any of that at all, then that throws into question this doctrine about God's sovereignty. And I realize that when I do this, I might be pushing on some of your buttons here, but I do want to go ahead and just explore this just for a moment so that we're clear that just because God has it in his heart for humans to experience something, it doesn't mean they always experience it. And the flip is true as well, that just because someone is experiencing something, it doesn't mean that that's God's will for them. Okay, so let me just mash on this for a moment. So there's this notion that God is always in control. Okay, and there's this notion that everything that ever happens to us is God's will. I think that that's very Calvinistic in a lot of ways, and I do want to push back on that because I personally do not believe that it's God's will for people to suffer trauma through abuse of any kind. Nor do I believe that it's God's will for the innocent to experience abandonment and neglect. All right? But there's a lot of people that experience abuse, and there's a lot of people that experience abandonment and neglect. And because that's happening, it does not mean that that's God's will. I think that there are forces of evil, and there are effects and consequences that are hellish on earth, and they were never God's intention for us. And so, that being said, I don't believe that it was even God's will for human beings to be born into a, what would you call it, like a generative brokenness. A generative brokenness would be like the result of the sinful nature that was being inherited all the way from Adam and Eve down the family lines to our family, okay? I don't believe that that was God's original intent. Like, I believe that God intended for Adam and Eve to live in obedience and in intimacy and communion with Him, and for their children to reap the inheritance and the benefits of that as a tremendous blessing all the way down through the generations. And so there was a brokenness, and I believe that Jesus is the answer to bring restoration to that. And so we'll talk about that here in just a minute. Okay, so let me just find my place here. Yeah, so in all these ways, I mean, I believe that things have been robbed from people for generations. Their spiritual inheritance has been robbed. I think that the blessings of God that were always intended for people have been robbed. We know that the enemy is a thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus has come to give abundant, full life. And so that's the good news that we'll land on here today. Okay, so I have this this friend. I had lunch with him just the other day, and I've known him since he was a young man, and now he's not so young, and so it kind of made me feel a little bit older, but hey, that comes with the territory, right? Beats the alternative. And so with that, I was just having this conversation with him, and my friend was telling me about his father, and my friend was telling me about the experience that he had as his father was dying. And so his father passed away a couple of years ago, and we were catching up, and my friend was just telling me about the experience that he had being with his father in the last months of his life. And he said that it was really pretty fascinating, and it taught him a lot. And one of the things that he experienced in his father was that his father was like dementia was starting to take hold of my friend's father's mind. And so he was becoming very forgetful. He was losing track of, you know, some of his sense of reality and his perspectives. And what my friend experienced was that in the latter days of his life, as his father was dying, his father was becoming more soft and more kind. Now, what my father described was that his dad was not an easy man to be with, that his father was highly critical and angry most of my friend's life. And so this was a very like different sort of an experience that he was having with his dad. And my friend told me that it was as though his father was forgetting all of the reasons why he was so angry. And it was as though his father was letting go of the pain that he had held on to for so many years that created just such a critical and difficult and angry personality that this man related to my friend and for most of his life as a kid. And so my friend was reflecting on this, and he was imagining that what he was experiencing in his father was always there, but it had simply been buried under so much brokenness, right? And so I asked my friend what he thought had happened to his dad to make him such a hard man. And without skipping a beat, he says, well, his father. So my friend's grandfather was just incredibly difficult. He said that all of the stories that he had ever heard about his grandfather were chocked full of rage and abuse that was aimed towards his dad, right? So that would be his son, so my friend's dad. That being said, that it was actually a murderous anger. It was like he recalls the story of his dad being yelled at and told, "If I ever see your face again, I'm going to kill you." It was to that extent. So this is what my friend's father experienced from his father. And it just kind of got passed down the line. And at the end of his life, with dementia taking over his mind, it was as though all of that was just drifting away. And what emerged out of my friend's father was a kindness and a softness that he had rarely, if ever, experienced in his dad's life. So it was really fascinating. He was reflecting on that. And it got me really thinking about this. Because what we understand is that God had always intended for the family to be a place of wholeness and blessing. I believe that to be true. And yet we see it time and time again, don't we? I mean, many of us have experienced this at some degree or another, that family is often torn apart. And it's usually the effects of sin, the curse of brokenness and sin. And so much of that is just ravaging families left and right. And so this is really important for us to bring up, because we see it all the way from the first family, right? Adam and Eve with Cain and Abel. And we see that broken relationship with God, it really robbed them of the intended blessings. And in its place, insecurity, rage, dysfunction. And in one generation, murder and deceit took the place of nurture and support. And it's just heartbreaking, I'm sure, for God to just see this at such a magnitude and such a scale. All right. And so I believe that God, while he always intended for family to be a blessing, the way that he, I think, initially intended for that to be was for parents to be very attentive to the needs of their kids, and for the parents to have intimacy with God in a way that their core longings would be met. And yeah, so it would function correctly. And that being said, I just want to just point to this idea that Jesus meets us in our different types of brokenness, you know, whether it's generative, whether it's, I guess what you would call like autobiographical or episodic, where we experience trauma or we experience brokenness through the effects of other people's decisions. Regardless, Jesus is coming to meet us, all right? And the way that he meets us in that generative brokenness in family is he brings a new creation order through his like finished work on the cross, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension to the place of authority. This is what Jesus has come to do. He's come to restore family, and he's come to restore his original intent for families to be a place of blessing and for children to experience blessings. And that's why it was so important for his disciples to get this. When Jesus was blessing the children, and parents instinctively knew, I want to bring my child to Jesus. I want to bring my infant to Jesus so that Jesus can lay his hands on them and bless them. They knew instinctively that Jesus was the answer to bring restoration to broken families. And so with that, we understand, you know, like the verses about if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. We understand this idea, but I want to take it from a passage of scripture that it's a bit obscure. It's not that obscure. I mean, it's in the Bible, but it's not one that we often park on. But it is really important for this context. So this is Acts 26, verse 18 and 19. It goes on down. Now, to set the kind of stage here, this is Paul, who has had years of ministry, and now he's being held and he's being questioned, and He has appealed to Caesar. He wants to have his case heard before Caesar, so he's going to be sent to Rome. But before he gets sent to Rome, King Agrippa wants to hear Paul's defense. He wants to hear what Paul has to say. And so Paul stands before King Agrippa, and he gives a testimony of his relationship with Jesus and the work that he's done. And so it's a really fascinating passage. I encourage you to read the whole thing. But this part is really fascinating, and I'd like to pick it up here. Let me grab this. So it's in Acts 26, starting in verse 18. This is Paul giving the account of when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Okay? And this is Paul saying, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord replied, "I am Jesus, the one that you are persecuting. Get up and stand on your feet. For I have appeared to you to reveal your destiny and to commission you as my assistant." I love it. "You will be a witness to what you have seen and to the things that I reveal whenever I appear to you. I will rescue you from the persecution of your own people and from the hostility of the other nations that I will send you to. And you will open their eyes to their true condition so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God, by placing their faith in me, that they will receive total forgiveness of the sins and be made holy," get this, "taking hold of the inheritance that I give to my children." Paul is being commissioned not only to preach the good news of the gospel, of the kingdom of God, and help people see their true condition, but he's also being commissioned now by Jesus to help people take hold of the inheritance that Jesus will give to his children. This is amazing. Like, this is the restoration of Jesus' intentions, right? He intends for people to have a spiritual inheritance. And it's not just an inheritance for a day after you die, you know, and you go to heaven. It's not just that. It's about the abundant life, the eternal life that is now, and the experience of God that is now. And it is about laying hold of a spiritual inheritance that had been robbed and had been stolen. And so this is a great commission that Paul is given. And so our new lineage, from the lineage of Adam, from the Adamic nature, from that generative brokenness that came down the line, and the curse of, you know, sin and the effects of brokenness down the line for generation after generation, being interrupted by Jesus and saying, "I am transferring you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. I am transferring you from the lineage of Adam into my lineage. And with my lineage, you will have a spiritual inheritance. Now take hold of it." And so this is our great encouragement here today. And so what has been robbed is restored in the inheritance that Jesus is giving to you and I. Not only to you and I, but to our children, okay? And to their children. And so I want to lift our eyes up a little bit, because Jesus said this, "Never hinder a child from coming to me. Let them all come, for God's kingdom realm belongs to them as much as to anyone else." And so let me talk to you parent to parent. And I realize that I'm talking to some parents that are older than me, and I realize that I'm talking to some parents that are much younger than me. Listen, we have a great privilege to just help our children experience and lay hold of an inheritance from Jesus. And it's a spiritual inheritance. And so as a parent, I know that my kids being a bit older now, and us experiencing measures of that empty nest syndrome and so forth, they're still deeply on my heart. In fact, this year, If you were to ask me, like, what has been one of the themes for this year so far, I would say that it is to engage my children's lives in a way that they are encouraged by me, that even as they mature and move out and spend, you know, their life elsewhere and so forth, that I have an active role, just like Timothy had an active grandmother and mother, and their faith was an inheritance that Timothy received and laid hold of and was encouraged by his spiritual papa, Paul. And so with that, I just wanted to encourage us, because our prayers matter. Our prayers matter, and our words of wisdom, our kind words of wisdom matter. Our input, our vulnerability, our relating, our relationships with our children matter. And we have been given a tremendous privilege to be the kind of parents that can help bring the restoration of an inheritance that was always intended by God to our children and to their children. I know that this has been a difficult year for a lot of parents. Those of you who have younger kids, you've been with your kids a lot. You've been homeschooling your kids. You have been helping your kids with remote learning. You've been navigating through a year with your kids where most of your kids, and I know a lot of you, and your kids are just in that beautiful age where it's all about social interaction, and it's all about, you know, just having friends and just doing stuff with your friends, and they haven't been able to do that as much this year. And so you've been experiencing a tremendous amount of challenges. And I just want to encourage you, as frustrating as that has been for you, as difficult as it may be, even today, I just want to encourage you that Jesus has an inheritance for your children, and it's a spiritual inheritance, and your life of faith impacts your children and so on down the line. And so let's be here for each other. Let's encourage each other in this. Our fellowship and our community is so blessed by the children that we have in our fellowship. And I just want to just let you know that from my heart, from my papa heart to yours, your kids, well, they're just incredible. And I just see Jesus just wanting to love them, to bless them, and to pour out into them. And we get to be a part of that in partnership with Jesus. So with that, I'll close, and then we'll move into some prompts. Thank you. It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, feel free to drop us a line at emmausfellowship@icloud.com. If you're curious about ways you can be more deeply involved in this community, visit our website at emmausfellowship.org and be sure to like our Facebook page.